Hello and welcome to Showtime with Leo, the one and only. So today I am doing the first official episode. Woo! It's just me clapping. Yeah, that was quite sad. So today I am going to be looking at Sherlock. Oh yes, and I did mention that in the trailer and I do keep my promises. I'm going to be looking at Sherlock, the thriller, the mystery, the drama, the suspense. I'm going to be looking at all of it. And before we get started, I am going to mention that this podcast you're listening to right now is available on 5 different platforms: Spotify, Breaker, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, and Radio Public. So go check it out if you haven't already. So let's get onto it. I'm just going to get straight into it because I'm so excited. I love Sherlock. Whew. Okay, a little bit of background before we get into like what it's about, the best moments, that kind of thing. Some of the famous faces you should see in Sherlock are, well, not should, you are going to see in Sherlock, are Benedict Cumberbatch, Martin Freeman, Mark Gatiss, Amanda Abington, Andrew Scott, Una Stubbs, and many, many, many more. That is just the main cast. It was created by Stephen Moffat, Mark Gatiss, and Stephen Thompson. Now, those of you who are very attentive will have noticed I said Mark Gatiss twice. And yes, it is the same person. Mark Gatiss not only plays Mycroft, Sherlock's very, very intelligent and slightly intimidating big brother, but he also co-created the show. So let's get onto the little segment I like to call, Is It Worth It? This is a little section for those of you out there who want to know, is Sherlock worth the investment of your precious time? Should you start watching it and spend all your TV, Netflix time investing it into this one TV show? Well, I will tell you now. This is also going to be spoiler free, by the way, guys. Spoiler free. Spoilers are later on to let you know. So, Sherlock. Oh my goodness. Well, first of all, if the name Sherlock Holmes is familiar to you, as it should be, he is like the greatest fictional detective out there. But he also comes from the famous book series, which was written by Sir Arthur Conan Doyle. And Sherlock, the TV show, is a modern adaptation. So it brings it into current, present day London. So there, that's a little bit of a base for you. It is very much, it's a thriller, a suspense, drama, that kind of thing. A little bit of romance, a little bit of comedy. Nice little cocktail of suspense, though. Definitely a lot of suspense. A lot of suspense. So it is about this doctor called Dr. Watson, who used to be an army medic, and he basically had to leave the army because he was injured. So he lives in London and he needs to find a place to live, but he can't afford the hotel he's staying at any longer. So he either has to find a cheap place to live within London or has to leave London, which he does not want to do. Luckily for him, there is another man, Sherlock Holmes, who is in a situation where he's also needing to find somewhere to live. So he needs to find a roommate. And because a lot of people think of him as a difficult character, nobody really wants to be his roommate. So when he does find John Watson, who is in a little bit of a tricky predicament, then he's in luck. And then the two of them go and rent 221B Baker Street from Mrs. Hudson, the landlady, whom Sherlock did a favour back in the day, made sure her husband got executed. So yeah, if you want to get on your landlady's good side, help them out. So Sherlock Holmes is a consulting detective. He is pretty much the only one in the country and pretty much the world because he pretty much invented the occupation. And he goes and helps the police when there are difficult crimes that they just cannot solve. When there's usually some kind of quirky, maybe that's not the word, unusual, a little bit maybe disturbing, difficult aspect of a crime where they just can't figure it out and they need him to come in and use his powers of deduction to figure out what is going on. One of the things that makes Sherlock so, like, makes John so like attracted, not in like a romantic way, just like in a I want to be your friend way, I want to be your like friend way or sidekick kind of way, is that John wants some action, some excitement, some danger in his life. And Sherlock definitely gives him that when he drags them on this, on these ridiculous, crazy, very, very dangerous crimes. So the season follow them just going and solving different crimes every single episode. Usually a lot of plot twists within every episode, which is like an hour long, more than an hour long. So lots and lots of red herrings, misdirection within these episodes. And you're by the end of it, you're just thinking to yourself, wow, was not expecting that. But what was I going to say? Oh, yeah. The USP, the thing that makes this different from all the other mystery thriller detective TV shows out there on Netflix, and I tell you, there's so many of them, I cannot count. The thing that makes it different is that Sherlock, he has this incredible mind where he can use a small subtle detail, for example, ketchup stain, and he can deduct, he can work out the most random details about your life from this small, small little thing that he clocks onto. So, for example, if you had a ketchup stain on your tie, he could figure out where you got it from, where you live, if you're married, if you're happily married, if you're unhappily married, if you have kids, if you love your job, what you do for your job, when did you last go on holiday, where did you get the ketchup stain, like what components, compounds, chemistry stuff this ketchup stain is made of. He can tell you all that from the smallest thing. And what's really, really cool, especially for me, because I like visually seeing things on the screen, like visually, like, I'm a visual learner, so I like, if there's deductions to be made, I like it in a big diagram. But what I really like is that these deductions that Sherlock makes come up in text. So, for example, ketchup stain. Let's say he worked out that you are not married from the ketchup stain. It would say on the screen in text, not married. So it's pretty cool because then you can link it yourself and you can follow it as it goes on. That is basically what it's about. There's different types of mysteries or murders or whatever throughout. There's ones where they're both dealing with personal stuff and you're trying to follow along. There's definitely a lot of comedic aspects. Some really, really creepy people, dangerous people, thefts, murders, serial killers. Creepy, creepy, creepy serial killers. There's just a ton. I'm not going to spoil it here. But yeah, that is it worth it? Well, you're going to have to go decide. Watch it for yourself and decide. So there you go. I have to say, I'm really, really sorry. But now it's time for spoiler time. Meaning there's going to be a lot of spoilers coming up. I like to do a little countdown of like best moments, worst moments, controversial, creepy moments. So let's just get straight into it because I like these countdowns. Let's get into the creepiest moments. There are only two. By the way, these countdowns aren't gonna be equal. They're just gonna be like what I personally find creepy on this TV show. So don't think there's just gonna be like five creepy, five best, five unusual. It's just gonna be random. So there might be like one of creepy, five best moments, two worst moments, that kind of thing. Just a random mix. So let's get on to it. Let's get on to the most creepiest moments that exist on Sherlock. And I've got one. Culverton Smith. If you don't know who I'm talking about, you're just going to be like, oh, who the hell is that? Well, it's fine. He is in The Lying Detective. So that is one of, it's in the last series. So there's four seasons or series. And Culverton Smith is in the second last episode of the last series. He is this powerful, I want to call him a business guy, but I'm not exactly sure what he does. I'm pretty sure he's a business guy, investor. He's also some kind of like press media, maybe. Maybe not an influencer like you see on YouTube nowadays. Just, he's some kind of media guy, really, really powerful guy. And he turns out to be this psycho, crazy, serial, weird person. He does this advert, which is like advertising cereal, and he's like, I'm a serial killer. Well, guess what? He actually is. And he is trying to kill Sherlock. Sherlock is in this hospital, and he is on his way to kill Sherlock, because that's just his thing. And during his conversation, because you know serial killers, they like to explain themselves and explain their brilliance and stuff like that. So during his little confession or conversation that he has with Sherlock, he reveals that he built this hospital wing in this hospital. So he built it and he would fire the architects, builders, carpenters every now and then, so they wouldn't know quite how the hospital came together. But at the end, there's like a ton of secret doors which he can use, these secret passages, secret doors and corridors, to get into the hospital at whatever time he likes, to do whatever he likes. And one of his favourite things to do is go down to the morgue. Creepy. Very, very creepy. That is number one. Just weird. I mean, just imagine there's people in a hospital, I mean, vulnerable people, and you got some creepy... How many times have I said creepy so far? I don't know. That just tells you how creepy this guy is. This weirdo just walking up and down the halls, going into the morgue, and just having a little walk around at his discretion. Very uncomfortable to think about. Not gonna lie, but yeah, definitely one of the most weirdest moments. Number two, also involving Culverton Smith. This guy is really topping the charts. So, Culverton Smith, before he tries and kills Sherlock in this hospital, he goes and pays a visit to some children in the children's ward with Sherlock Holmes and Watson, who by now are kind of somewhat celebrities. They're well known, and Sherlock is well known for wearing his hat. So he goes into the children's ward as like a visit, and somehow, actually not somehow, Culverton Smith introduces it. He introduces a very, I would probably say, inappropriate conversation to have with a bunch of 8 to 12 year olds about serial killers. And he starts talking about these serial killers and like their mindset, what they do. And then he's like, if the Queen is involved in being a serial killer, what would you do? It's just a bizarre and quite frankly uncomfortable conversation, and not one that you should be having with kids. Anyway, or anybody. I just think anybody would kind of be freaked out if you just approach them and start talking about that type of thing. Anyway, the nurse at this point is like trying to intervene, and he threatens her job. He's like, how long have you been with us, nurse, whatever her name is? And she's like, some amount of time. And then he's, well, would you like to continue your job? Because if you keep getting in my way, you are not. He obviously doesn't say it like that, but he basically threatens her job for meddling with his business. So that's the second most creepiest moment. Very just uncomfortable to look at. And it gave me shivers, gave me goosebumps, not gonna lie. Number three creepiest moment is when, this is not Culverton Smith, don't worry. This is Charles Augustus Magnuson, who is in the episode His Last Vow. And he is the media mogul who runs a newspaper. And the uncomfortable moment, the creepy, weird moment, number three, is when he licks Lady Smallwood's face. So during this episode, they are kind of having him in this type of select committee meeting type thing. Could you say that? Yeah. Yeah. Select committee. He's in this select committee. I mean, I don't know if it was a select committee, but some kind of like governmental meeting slash interrogation. And he is being questioned about how he's quite frequently involved with the British PM and how maybe he shouldn't be as influential in decisions regarding government, that kind of thing. And Lady Smallwood is the person that is taking charge of this questioning. And once this questioning kind of finishes, Lady Smallwood is just sitting in an office, quite fancy office with a big fireplace. Lucky. And he comes in, there's some kind of conversation, gets quite uncomfortable, and then he just licks her face. Just like that. And to taste her perfume, which, Claire de la Lune, but yeah, you just don't lick people's faces. No. You can smell her perfume, kind of. Like, you can just waft it towards yourself. Maybe that's a little bit weird, but do not lick people's faces. And that's exactly what he did. And I can assume that all he tasted was some foundation, blush, makeup. Not tasty at all. And she was quite frankly disgusted. Quite rightfully. On to the most unexpected. The most unexpected slash slightly unusual slash controversial moments on Sherlock. Number one is Sherlock. Ugh. So in the episode with Charles Augustus Magnuson, which is his last one, pretty sure. Yeah, it is. Yeah. Anyway, Sherlock has a girlfriend, which is very unexpected because Sherlock is generally not the fun-loving type. So he has his girlfriend, and at first everyone's a little bit confused. Very, very unexpected. And even John's a little bit confused. And it turns out the only reason why Sherlock had this girlfriend was because he was going to use her position, because she was the secretary to Charles Augustus Magnuson. He was going to use her position to access his office and get the information he needed and snoop around. And to get inside his office, he even proposed to her. Well, fake proposed. But she thought it was very much real. She thought that they were in love. No. Not at all. He proposed through the little telecom thing, and she was like, whoa! And then he came upstairs to break news to her that it was all fake, and it turns out she was just whacked on the head. So yeah, that was unexpected. Definitely knew that Sherlock Holmes was a little bit cold-hearted, but didn't expect him to go to such great lows. So yeah, unexpected, definitely. On to number two, the most unexpected. The secretary killing, oh my god, the secretary killing Mary. I mean, that frail woman who looks so innocent. She looks like the type of woman that just bake you cookies and, like, give you tea for, do you know, if you're going around and giving leaflets to a postbox? I feel like she'd be the one that opens the door and gives you tea and cookies, which you probably shouldn't go inside and take. Now, knowing that she's a bit of a psychopath. So, I suppose it tells you, appearances are definitely deceiving. Not gonna lie. What number am I at? I don't know. What number am I at? Two? Number two or three, I'm not sure. The cabbie being the killer. Unexpected. Not gonna lie to you. Was not expecting that at all. Definitely didn't think that it could ever be the cabbie, because as Sherlock mentions, cabbies are kind of invisible. You just kind of get in the cab, you sit in the cab, get driven to wherever you're wanting to go, and pay the fare and get out. You don't really have much chit chat unless you're like a really, really, really sociable person and want to chat with everybody. But yeah, he turns out to be this serial killer that goes and kidnaps people, gives them a choice of two pills, and hey, if you choose the wrong pill, you are gonna die. If you choose the right pill, you get to live. So he does have quite a sad story behind why he was doing what he was doing, which was that he had a terminal illness, so he was trying to, like, take his bet, chance his life, I suppose, take a gamble to see how lucky he was. But just don't do that. Don't gamble other people's lives. So yeah, it's not expected at all. Number three, unexpected. Anderson suddenly warming up to Sherlock. Could you say that? That he warmed up to Sherlock? I would say so. So Anderson. He is the forensics guy that you kind of meet in the first episode. And Sherlock does not like him. He does not like Sherlock. They are enemies. And, he, you know, Anderson's ready to do whatever. He's, like, ready to wake up at 5 a.m. if it means he can do a house search and find some drugs on Sherlock and get him convicted of something. He's just happy to see Sherlock go down. And, you know, until Sherlock jumps off the buildings and dies. I'm doing bunny ears or inverted commas for dies. Because, as you know, if you watched it, he does not die. But yeah, up until that point, up until he's suspected to die, Sherlock, he hates Sherlock, absolutely despises him. And then after he comes back, or it's revealed that he did die, Anderson seems to form like a fan club that loves Sherlock. And he kind of gets a little bit scruffy, lets himself go. Not, I don't even know if he still works for the police because he clearly has a lot of free time on his hands. Maybe he quit because he was feeling such guilt for hating Sherlock. That could be why. That could be why he has this little fan club of his now where he discusses theories of how Sherlock survived the fall. Where a lot of their theories are a little bit weird, not going to lie. A little bit bizarre. But yeah, very unexpected. I was not expecting him to make such a 180 and suddenly love Sherlock out of nowhere. But I think it's something to do with his guilt. Maybe he feels guilty and a little bit annoyed that he was so maybe mean to Sherlock. Maybe he has a conscience. So yeah, was not thinking that at all. Number 4, Irene Adler. So Sherlock, I think, falls in love. Personally, I mean, it's not explicitly said that he's absolutely in love with her. I don't think he ever properly admits or declares his love. But he probably does do it in some respect, but you have to kind of read between the lines, which, come on, you're watching TV, it's not a set text. You have to read between the lines, you just want to watch TV. But anyway, his love is proclaimed in very subtle ways. And he falls in love, I think, with the dominatrix, Irene Adler, who has a hobby of being a nudist, I think. She's naked, like 100% of the time. Maybe not 100, but 90% of the time she's naked. And she always seems to get herself in positions where she remains decent in some respects. And he seems to like her. He has a taste of women who like to be nudists and like to go and take compromising pictures of government officials and use them as blackmail. Ugh. And yeah, so she, Irene Adler, is in contact with Moriarty, obviously, because every single bad guy on Sherlock is in contact with Moriarty because he drives them on to do what they do, because Moriarty's obsessed with Sherlock. And they kind of have some nicknames. Iceman for Mycroft and the Virgin for Sherlock. So yeah, interesting. Yeah, gotta say, wasn't expecting him to fall in love with her. Unusual, Sherlock, unusual. Another unexpected thing, number 5. Well, there's a lot of unexpected things. Another unexpected / bizarre thing is the wall. So this is the last episode. Basically, everything with his sister, his unknown sister, for me is bizarre and unusual because I did not expect him to have a sister. And it turns out the sister was John's therapist and the redhead that he almost has an affair with. But also, just Euros in general. Unexpected. Did not see that coming. Such a plot twist. And he basically went and visited Euros on this little island where she was being kept away because she is top level psychopath. So there's this wall between them where Euros is one side and her like cell and Sherlock is in the other, and all of a sudden the wall between them disappears, or the glass actually that they were speaking through just disappears. Don't know where it goes. Apparently, I think there's some fancy explanation to why the glass disappears, but I just didn't understand why. It was explained, but I just didn't catch on. But that was just Euros. Everything about Euros was unexpected. So there you go. I'm going to say that is it for the most unexpected moments, and I'm just going to move on to the best moments, because there's a lot of them in Sherlock, I'll tell you that. On to number 1. This is, by the way, in no order. These are just best moments randomly scattered through. The best moments are, I've got some random ones here. Well, one of the passcodes, this is such a small thing, it's going to seem so trivial, but one of the passcodes that Sherlock like needed the password to, passcodes, does that even make sense? He needed a password, and one of the passcodes has like a pretty cool format to it. Basically, there was a passcode, and there was four digits at the top, and then at the bottom it said locked. It turns out the four digits were actually letters, and they were S-H-E-R, spelling share. So then the bottom bit says locked, and then together it says share locked. Ha ha ha. Ha ha, that's not funny. I just find that pretty cool, kind of a little bit quirky, and I don't know. I just think that's one of my favourite moments. It's just bizarre, isn't it? But I don't know. I liked it. Another one of the best moments, number two, is when Sherlock, Mycroft, and John were in Buckingham Palace, and Sherlock refused to get dressed, and he was carrying his bed sheets around with him, sat down on this lovely expensive furniture, and Mycroft started screaming at him, shouting at him. They had a little bit of a sibling squabble, and Mycroft was wanting him to get dressed and get ready for the mission and the scandal of Begravia, and he just refused, just point blank said, no, I don't want to get dressed. Like, and it showed that even Mycroft was not above petty little squabbles with his little brother. One of the best moments, no doubt. Number three was when Mycroft met John for the first time, or John met Mycroft for the first time. And so John was just walking around the streets of London, and all of a sudden these phones will start ringing, just like randomly ringing. And it's just a typical Hollywood movie scene, you know, where the phone boxes have all the phones, they ring, everywhere he goes, a phone rings. Eventually, he's curious, so he picks it up, and Mycroft is on the other end saying, there's a camera to your right, there's a camera to your left, it is looking at you. And he starts doing these flippy tricks with the camera, because if you didn't know, Mycroft works for the government, the UK government, and never, I don't think it's ever explained his actual job, but he works within the cabinet, so... yeah, but Sherlock describes it as being the British government and other secret agencies. And he was trying to, Michael was trying to put on this big super secret spy persona, which I think John kind of bought at the beginning, but after a while he was just like, just get to the point. But definitely one of the best moments. Okay, next one is again just a random, completely and utterly random example, but I keep forgetting what number I'm at. Am I four? Number four, or number whatever. When Sherlock was in the drug house, and this is in his last vow, so it was with Charles Augustus Magnuson. He's in this drug house because he's trying to pretend to have this weakness as being a drug addict. So then Charles Augustus Magnuson doesn't get through to his actual weaknesses. So he pretends that he has a drug addiction, which he has a nicotine addiction, but you know. So he pretends to have this drug addiction, takes a bunch of drugs, ends up at this drug house, or whatever you call them. And for some reason, John decides to be a good neighbour, hasn't seen Sherlock in a month, goes and helps out his neighbour whose son is in this drug house. And he gets in, sprays... drug users, I'm going to call them drug users, keep this nice and professional, drug users rest, and he basically goes upstairs, finds Isaac, the guy he was looking for, and then next to him is Sheza, or Sherlock. Sheza is his nickname. So, and then Sherlock's just flabbergasted at John, like, being there, and John's flabbergasted at Sherlock being there. It's hilarious, it's really funny. So that's definitely a best moment. On to one of, I'm going to say, the last best moment. There's a lot of them, but I need to keep this countdown reasonably short and not go on and on and on and on. So the last kind of best moment that I'm going to include in the countdown is when the Whig, as he likes to call himself, so the Whig, or Bill, is the drug user, drug addict, whom John sprains his wrist when trying to get into this drug house, and initially Bill doesn't let him in, but John goes, sprains his hand, and he basically forces him away in, because he says, I'm used to dealing with a better class criminal. Yes, Moriarty, we know. And then eventually Mary and John have got the car loaded up with everybody, and Bill asks if he can come with them. John feels bad and lets him in the car. They all drive back to the lab where Molly's at. They test Sherlock to see if he's been actively drug using. Well, Molly slaps him, so you can make your own little deductions from if he has or not. But yeah, Molly slaps him and says, "You're wasting your lovely get." Has a proper anger moment at him. Anyway, that's not the point. The point is, all of a sudden, Sherlock's playing this game with John, like, "You've been cycling recently because your shirt is folded." He starts making these, what would you call that? Deductions. He starts making these deductions. And John's just like, "I'm not having it." And then eventually Bill starts making deductions. And it turns out he's got some pretty mean deduction skills, like Sherlock. And he starts saying, "Well, you've only started cycling recently because your shoulder is creased. Or your stomach has creases, which means you put them in your bag, and then you run, you cycle, that kind of thing." And then Sherlock's impressed. He's like, "Oh, what's your name? Good deduction skills. What's your name?" And then Bill, as is very, very relatable to like everybody who tries to sound really, really cool, gives these nicknames, a string of nicknames nobody's believing. So eventually, initially says, they call me The Wig. Everyone's just like, "Nah, you're not called The Wig. No way." And then he says, "Wiggy?" And they're just like, "No." And then Billy, and then he just goes and says Bill. I just found it funny. It's so relatable. Every time I tried to make a cool nickname, it's just not worked out. So yeah, super awkward, but also quite hilarious moment if you're watching on. Not actually if you're the person trying to come up with a cool nickname for yourself and no one's buying it. That's just awkward. Okay, on to what I like to call honourable moments, and there's two of them. One is a little bit more serious. The other one is just Sherlock. So I'm going to start with the serious one. So Sherlock puts himself in danger. So it's number one. Honourable moments. Sherlock puts himself in danger. But we don't actually know why until John stumbles across this tape that Mary made, which she instructed Sherlock to open when she died, which obviously she gets killed. So he opens it. And she says, "You need to save John Watson. And the only way you can do that is by making sure that John Watson is positioned where he needs to save you." So obviously Sherlock, being Sherlock, goes and puts himself in danger with a serial killer. Goes to a hospital. And John uncovers it. And realizes that Sherlock is in this hospital because of him. And he goes and saves Sherlock. Now, one of the things that I kind of get confused is, why does John Watson needs saved? But I have come up with a few theories. Well, one of the things I think is because John is clearly a very, very big family man. He likes to protect people that he loves. Obviously, when he can't do this, he feels quite helpless and he'll probably become quite withdrawn from society. And obviously, Mary doesn't want that. So by giving him a task or something to feel like he has a purpose, it'll make him not get into a deep state of depression and maybe not feel so guilty and helpless. It gives him something to do. And I think maybe that's why he needs saved. He needs to get saved from himself. Okay, final honourable moment is, I still don't know how Sherlock managed to fake falling out of that big building. Like, how did he do it? If you watch The Wreck and Back Fall, it ends with Sherlock jumping off this massive, like, skyscraper-type building. But you actually never find out, even in, like, the next episode. You just don't find out how he survived, how he faked his death. And, yeah, he starts explaining it. We're kind of given a few theories by Anderson's fan club, but none of them are really plausible. So then, after that, Sherlock tries to like show off how smart he is and starts explaining it, but John doesn't want to hear it. And I'm just like, John, shut up, I want to know how he does it. But you never find out. And I don't even know if the writers know. Maybe they don't know. Maybe they just couldn't think of a really good way to do it because it's kind of impossible. But yeah, that is an honourable moment because I'm still like, how did he do it? So yeah, that is the countdown. That is it. That is finished. Nearly finished. Well, all good things, you know. That's the saying. What is the saying? I don't know. So yeah, honourable character for me. I really like Mycroft just because he's cool, calm, collected. Everything, like, I try to be, but it just doesn't work. So yeah, you know, cool, calm, collected. But I really like Mycroft. Also really smart. I also think that he is smarter than Sherlock in a lot of ways, but maybe he doesn't show it off as much. He's a little bit more reserved. So that is honourable, honourable character. On to the little last section of, would I buy a ticket if this was showing in the cinema? Yes, I would, because it is a great TV show. It's a great series, lots and lots of plot twists. Like, you just never know what's going to happen, and I really, really appreciate that type of TV show. So, yeah, I have to say, first episode down, and I hope it was a good episode. I'm just going to go through a little list of the episodes, what they're called. So, season one, or series one, Sergeant Pink, Blind Banker, The Great Game, season two, or series two, Scandal in Belgravia, Hounds of Baskerville, The Reichenbach Fall, season three, The Empty Hair, Sign of Three, His Last Bow, season four, The Six Thatchers, The Line Detective, The Final Problem. So they are all your episodes. Enjoy watching, or maybe don't. Maybe you're just like, nah, I just wanted to hear a few spoilers because everyone's talking about it and I want to, if it comes up, I just want to have something to say on it. So there you go. There you go. Hope you enjoyed and stay tuned for the next episode, which I don't really know what I'm going to do it on yet. So as I said, stay tuned. Thank you very much and goodbye from Showtime with Leo.